Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
If you come to Jesus before you get your act together, you'll probably end up loving Him more. Because you'll realize He took me the way I was. He took me. Just the way I was. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But a lot of these people have not. Maybe all of these people. We don't know. But I can't help those people, but I can ask you this question. Have you come to Jesus?
Throughout the Bible, there are two stories of heroic chosen men and women who accomplish amazing things by abiding in God. Moses, Noah, David, Rahab, the list goes on. The crazy thing is, they weren't all that perfect. In fact, they had many flaws. In today's message, Pastor Jim teaches that God isn't asking you to come to Him looking perfect. He's asking you to come as you are, and He will slowly begin working on those rough edges. You don't have to have it all together. You just have to give it all to Him. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 7 as he continues his message. Does Jesus cause division?
Now, many of the people, here's a problem. Many of the people from Jerusalem thought they were more spiritual than others. Do you know the hyper-spiritual types? That's what a lot of the people from Jerusalem were like. And they were like, well, Jesus is from Nazareth. Remember we said it's the wrong side of the tracks. Far away, they'd call him a country bumpkin. Any of you know what a country bumpkin is? Oh, three of you. Okay. So yeah, he's a country bum. He lives out in there and he's not smart enough. He's not religious enough. He can't be our leader. They would be saying stuff like this to people. You're putting your faith in a carpenter from Nazareth? I mean, what are you kidding me? And this is a pretty common reaction to a lot of the people that we meet. Okay, you should expect that. I don't know why we're surprised when that happens. Okay, and now this is an interesting thing about the Gospel of John. He often lets false opinions of people go by without explanation. Now, why would he do that? I think he does it because he wants us to figure it out. He wants us to figure out who are the people who are way off. And again, we know that Jesus knows people's heart. Okay, we can't fool him. And what did the people want back then? We've talked about this before. Most of the people wanted like a miracle guy, but a lot of the people in Jerusalem and the religious leaders, they wanted a warrior king. Remember, they wanted Caesar out. They wanted the Roman Empire out, and they wanted a warrior king to set God's people free. Now, we would look at that and we go, that's kind of silly. That's kind of silly. Really? I think they would look at the American church and they would say, listen, you guys, you want a healthy, wealthy, and happy king. That's what you want. You want a guy who's going to make you happy all the time, wealthy all the time, healthy all the time. What's so different about what you think than what we think? You see, but each generation has their thing they want from God, don't they? Whatever the values of the culture are, right? And we have to be careful of that because that may or may not. There's nothing wrong with being healthy, nothing wrong with being wealthy, nothing wrong with being happy, but that may not be all the time. The Apostle John knows, his readers know, because remember, John's writing much later after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because it's in the Bible, and because soon we'll be singing it. Little town of Bethlehem. Does anybody want me to sing it now? Yeah, no, you don't. No, you don't. Verse 43 and 44. So there was a division because of him. Who's him? Jesus. Now, you say, why do you always ask these questions? Because I want you to think when you read the Bible. Because I want you to read it on your own and ask yourself questions when you're thinking it to make sure you got the right things, okay? Verse 44. Now, some of them wanted to take him. Some versions say seize him. Some versions say arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. Now, we know from reading previously why. Because his hour had not yet come. That he's got another 6 months to go until the Passover season when he's going to be crucified. So the division over Jesus continues. Now, here's the thing, loved ones, please listen to me. Why are we so surprised when some people disagree with us? Why? It's in the Bible. It's right there. It shouldn't surprise us that people are like, what are you, crazy? It shouldn't surprise us at all. I mean, the usual things would come out. Talking about this guy, this carpenter from Nazareth, you know. Some people are like, you know, he's the Messiah. Other people are like, he's a nut job, right? And you got to deal with these types of things. And remember we saw in previous weeks, what are some of the things that we heard about Jesus? Some people said, he's a good man. Other people said, he's a deceiver. Other people said, he's demon-possessed. Other people said, he's the Christ. Those are kind of opinions all over the page, right? And don't you hear those same things today? Right? So that's it. And the reality is, he can't be a good man if he claims to be God and he's not. So when people say to me, oh, he's a good man, I go, do you believe he's God? They go, no. I go, then he's a liar. How could he be a good man if he's a liar? But talk to people. And you don't be nasty about it. You just ask people. A lot of people just don't think these things through. And the more they start to think these things through, a lot of times for people, it starts to make more sense to them. Now, one of the things we have to deal with these days, and the internet is unmasking a lot of them. And, you know, part of it's really good, actually. There is so many dishonest pastors these days. Fleecing the flock, okay, taking all their money, right? Trying to do all that, right? And so we try not to do that here, okay? Right, when the text is about money, I'm going to hammer it. But when it's not, we don't, okay? And stealing from the people of God. Some of you have been suffered at the hands of abusive pastors. They've just been very abusive to you, okay? Again, many of you have experienced that. Now, for me, I'm very thankful for two things. Part of me wishes I went into the ministry earlier, but on the other hand, I was a convert for 15 years before I went into the ministry. And then Pam and I were at a conference from my old church that we went to, and we were talking to a couple about going out to start a church, and we moved up here. We didn't know anybody. You know, first service, was 7 people. 5 of them had my last name. Okay. What a congregation, huh? And so we were, you know, we just came up here. But for me, I think the 15 years of seeing stuff in the church, and then I kept a business, one of my businesses I kept to feed my family. That was very helpful because the money thing was not a temptation for me. And I know that a lot of guys that just get very, very greedy. And so we need to be really careful of that stuff. But for Jesus Christ, it seems to me the Israelites had lost the God that they claimed to worship. And how easy that is for that to happen. If we're not careful, we do. Listen, I'm not trying to be a troublemaker, but I don't want us to be church people. I don't want us to be church people. I want us to be the people of Jesus, right? Not just doing this church thing. Sometimes church is like a club, right? If it is, it's the most boring club on the face of the earth, right? I don't want it to be a club, okay? We have to be very, very careful. And when Jesus came along, his light in the midst of the darkness was just too much for people to handle. It was just too much. And here it seems that Jesus is stirring up trouble more so not between people, but in people's hearts. And people's hearts are so trying to figure out who this guy is that it's causing division between the people. You know, and after now we've been doing this for 20 years, I've come to the conclusion after meeting so many people who out in public who've left our church, you know what's the number one reason people leave our church? Jesus got too close. Can you believe that? He got too close. And I'm like, what is that? And they go, I could sense that you were talking to me, but there was another conversation going on. And it just got too close. And I don't want anybody to tell me how to live my life. So what do I know immediately? They're not a Christian. And so I'll try my best to talk to them. Some of them have come back. If you're one of them, you're here. I'm not picking on you. Okay? Many people hang on to one or two verses that they misunderstand. What do we say around here? Context is king, right? So we often have to look at the context of the passage, or they are content in their own opinion. I mean, just imagine that. How many people do you think are going to meet God and going to say, well, you know, just didn't agree with you, God? Do you think that's going to happen? How many of you ever heard of the honeymooners? So there's this guy, Jackie Gleason. How many know who Jackie Gleason is? Did you know my uncle bought his summer house? Yeah. So I walked in the same halls as Jackie Gleason. There was a gated community. I asked the guy, I said, what was it like? He goes, oh, debauchery. Right? Some of you don't know what that word means. Look it up. Google it. But at any rate, Jackie Gleason, sometimes he would be like a hamina, 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 hamina. Right? That's what it's going to be like when you meet God. You're not going to be like, well, I disagreed with you, God. You're going to be like, hamina, 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 hamina. Right? You're not going to be able to tell God that. That's not going to happen at all. Now, your own opinion is not going to matter to God. We go back to John chapter 1, verse 5, that glorious chapter we spent so much time in. It says this, and the light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or the darkness could not overcome it. Like today, so many people have the wrong idea about Jesus Christ. And that's part of what we are supposed to be doing with people. That's why we go through the Bible so very, very carefully, okay? You say, well, okay, how carefully? We're in chapter 7 of John, right? This is message number 40. We're going very slow. For a lot of you, it was the first book of the Bible you read. We're going very, very slowly. The first time I did it in 20 messages. That's not going to happen again, okay? But so we're just going very, 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 very slowly. Okay? And we want to be very, very careful. Okay? What did Jesus say over and over again? We've been hearing, come to me. Come to me. But you notice what he didn't say. Come to me after you get your act together. He doesn't say that at all. He says, come to me. As a matter of fact, my dear friends, I will say this to you. If you come to Jesus before you get your act together, you'll probably end up loving him more because you'll realize he took me the way I was. Right? He took me just the way I was. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But a lot of these people have not. Maybe all of these people. We don't know. But I can't help those people, but I can ask you this question. Have you come to Jesus just the way you are? Have you come to him? That may sound harsh, but so many people are committed to their unbelief and their not knowing. And I know that's a large part of my experience. Others say, we don't talk religion and politics. Have you ever heard more people talking about politics than they do now? It's like, people who never had an interest in politics are talking about politics, right? And here's the thing. Be careful you don't get sucked into it, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to immediately associate your politics with your faith, okay? While part of our faith may be lived out politically for some of us, but be very, very careful of such things. Now, many people will say, well, religion is personal. And it is, okay? But it's not necessarily private, and it's certainly public. We want to talk to other people about our faith. Now, how are we to do it? We are to be kind, and we're to share it with the world. Verse 44 says, they wanted to arrest Jesus, and the sovereign God of the universe won't allow it. He won't allow it. It's not Jesus' time. Now, you can answer this question if you want. How often is it that we wonder that God allows bad things to happen? We all do, right? We all wonder about that. Now, let me flip that coin over, okay? How often does God stop bad things from happening and we don't even know it? We don't even know it. Maybe you're driving down the road today on the way to church, and there was a guy high as a kite on drugs, drunk and whatever, and God's like, no, you're going to stay in your lane because you're about to pass one of my kids. We have no idea of this stuff. We only know the bad things that happen. We don't know all the time God stops the bad things. And maybe let's take an example. You share the gospel with someone and they reject it. And then what do you think? Oh, I must not be any good at it. Well, didn't the same thing happen to Jesus? Remember John chapter 6, all the people left him. What does he do? Turns around to the disciples, go, you guys want to go too? Turns around to the apostles, you guys want to go too? A lot of people rejected Jesus. At the end, basically, he had hardly anybody there with him. Okay? But here's the thing. People rejected Jesus and it didn't stop them. Does it stop us? Just because we think people reject us. See, it's not your job to convert someone. It's your job to present the message. Then you leave it in God's hands. And so we share the gospel. We tell people about it. And then I often even think that there's an unseen world, right? The gospel, the unseen world at least hears it. And you never know when that person you shared it with, well, you'll meet 5 years from now and they'll be like, yeah, I kept meeting Christians everywhere I went. It was crazy, right? Gosh, I get gassed the guy, but God bless you, have a good day. Like, what? Right? All that kinds of stuff going on. So don't be afraid to do that, okay? This world needs more kingdom servants. It does. We need more people sharing Jesus Christ with people. Now, let's listen to something we've heard many times before, but it's something that's always worth hearing. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then he, Jesus, says to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Got that? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest. What is the harvest? People. People. That's the harvest. So we are to pray. How many of you would be willing to go home today and pray that the Lord sends out people to the harvest? How many of you? Don't be surprised, okay, if when you are praying that Jesus calls you to be one of the people to go out into the harvest. All right, here comes the pushback. I can feel it already. Whoa. Okay, the pushback's the same all the time. I don't know what to do or I don't know what to say. If you're taking notes, you ready? Here we go. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, guys, we're going to go through that verse one more time again. You ready? Let's go back to the beginning. I can do all things. Stop right there. All things. Not some things, all things. Okay. Why am I not in the worship team? Because Barry's embarrassed I sing better than him. No, that's not why I'm in the worship team. Okay? I can't sing. Right? My father, great dancer, great singer. My mother, trained opera singer. And I cannot sing. Now, I got to be careful what I'm going to say next because my daughter's in the audience and her son was singing to me the other day. He's like, am I a good singer? I'm like, you're good at other things. Right? I can't sing. Okay? I got a new laptop in May. And I just found out the other day, somebody told me that I was having problems with my computer, that they're not using Windows 10 anymore. So I had to get somebody to come in and show me how to use my new computer. I am not a computer guy. I thought I could bypass that, but apparently I can. Okay? So wait a minute, though. But Paul said, I can do all things. Let's be very careful. What is he talking about? I can do all things. Okay? God has for you to do. Okay? All things that God has for you to do. And sometimes you say, I don't know what God has for me to do. You got to just roll up your sleeves and get to work. And people will start telling you. That's why it's great to be in a community group. Because if you ask at the end of the community group, anybody see any gifts in me? Half the group will have stuff to tell you. And you're like, really? You're kidding me. And so he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? So what God has given you to do, the gifts and talents, he's given every one of you a gift and a talent, every one of you. And it takes time to discover those things, but then run with it. But then run with it. And people always say to me, I couldn't do what you do. You know what's the hardest part about preaching? Sitting in the chair, getting it ready. That's the hardest part. Not checking your phone, right? Not doing all kinds of stuff. It's not easy. Okay, number two, got to go quickly. From the confusion among the people, we move into number two, the anger of the religious leaders. Now, how bizarre does that sound? The religious leaders are angry? Yes. Verse 45, then the officers or the temple guards. Now, remember we said in a previous study that these were Levites, okay, religiously trained guys. Came to the chief priests and the Pharisees who said to them, so the Pharisees say to the temple guards, remember they said, go bring him to us. Why have you not brought him? Okay, or why didn't you bring him? Verse 46, the officers answered, great answer, no man ever spoke like this man, or no man ever spoke the way he does. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to watch the religious leaders' reaction to what these guys said. Goes like this. Hey, where's the carpenter? We sent you for him. This is your job. You do what we say, like it or not. Okay, time out. Don't count this against my time. All right? Some of you will, I know anyway. Young people, listen to me very carefully. You are going to have times in your job when people are going to ask you to do something that's not right. That is going to happen, okay? I'm not saying if it happens, I'm telling you it's going to happen. I'm not saying something you don't want to do. I don't feel led to do that. Don't say that, okay? That's baloney, okay? But they're going to ask you to do something that's wrong. Okay, you have got to decide in advance. Before you go to a party, decide in advance what you're going to do. You know there's going to be alcohol there and stuff like that. Decide in advance. You have to decide these things in advance. Where they would call it, and the politicians call it the red line. Okay, well, decide in advance what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. I was in business world. I used to tell a lot of times I would tell customers, they would ask me certain stuff and I would say, okay, I will not lie to you, and I will not lie for you. And for the most times the Lord worked it out. Other times it cost me customers. Okay? I don't care. For the Spanish translation, no me importa. Okay? I don't care. Right? Why? Because I'm more afraid of God than I am of any customer that I would have. Okay? And so you are going to face that. Be ready for it. Do not be naive. It is coming. It is a very, very dishonest world. So the temple guards only had one answer. No man or never a man spoke like this man. What do you think the religious leaders thought? Well, let's think about it. The temple guards had heard these guys speak a lot. So basically, what are they saying? He's not like you guys. He's captivating. Parentheses, and you guys are boring as sin. Okay? You guys bore us, telling us how great you are, how wonderful it is, and how religious you are, and all this kind of stuff. This guy is saying, I will fill you with living water.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ, and we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. You may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love Radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.